Yeah, and that's where things get out of whack, when we worship and serve the creature rather than the creator.
Yep, right.
And we lose our sense of priority. And really, I mean, how many times do we say it on this program? Imago Dei, right? Man is made in the image of God.
Right.
And it's preposterous. And look, I say this with respect, because it has gotten to a place where people trip out if you in any way give the indication that animals are not as valuable as human beings. So I understand that, but let me say it in no emphatic terms. Animals are not as valuable as human beings. As much as we love our pets, as much as we care about them. I mean, if it's someone that, not only that I've never met, but someone that may be just a rude individual, if I see them drowning and my dog drowning, I'm saving the human being.
Right. Yeah.
Lassie, Benji, Old Yeller, Rin Tin Tin, Toto, Astro, Pluto, Snoopy, Scooby, Clifford, and all 101 of those adorable Dalmatians. There's a reason, friends, why most of you would be familiar with most of those names. It's because, as Ray Comfort often says, each one of us has a dog-shaped vacuum in our hearts, and no words could come close to expressing how dear our furry little friends become to us once they become a part of our families. And this program today, friends, is going to be one that has a mixture of emotions for a number of different reasons. But today, we're going to be talking about the passing of Ray's treasured friend and partner in the gospel, his beloved dog, Sam. And we're going to talk about the grief of loss and how to weather that painful storm by the grace of God.
Wait. Ray's over there laughing as pour your heart.
No, it's you're laughing?
Yeah, well, that's what happens when I get...
Oh, no, not the laughing attack.
What is this?
This is not what I expected, but I should have. Tell the people about the laughing attack.
Oh, God, it's very common. It's called a laughing disorder. If you tell me some really bad news, like your grandmother got run over by a bus...
Why is it always a bus?
It's always a bus. The reason you laugh is because laughter and grief are really close emotions, laughter and crying. And you get this thought, and I shouldn't tell anyone because you'll all get the thought now. When you hear bad news, you'll think to yourself, boy, the worst thing I could ever do right now would be to laugh about that.
And is that why you hit me in the prayer?
Yeah, and it's very, very common. We did an episode on it, I think, on a YouTube channel. I had a television program where a lady, I've forgotten her name, she's very, very well known, I laughed at a funeral.
Rachel?
No, that's your wife.
Well, no, because you and Rachel have had the laughing attack together.
Oh, yeah, Rachel
in churches.
Yeah, we're in England, and I was preaching, and Rachel was in the congregation, and I was talking about something real serious, and I saw her eyes, and I thought, I'm going to laugh. And she had to go out. She had to go out of that
bad
thing. So anyway, I've recovered.
Here I was, solemnly building up to this very serious thing. And then I wasn't looking up. I hear this laughter. I'm thinking, Mark, you are so insensitive.
Well, that's true.
I look and it's Ray laughing. But Ray, that laughter really comes on the heels of a lot of tears.
Don't say heels.
Heels?
That's what you say to a dog.
It is good to laugh, though. I have to be honest.
Well, I've had my whole day of crying.
Yeah.
I got it out and I'm over with it.
Yeah, there were a lot of tears.
How come there's no Kleenex on the table? I thought you guys would be a little sensitive.
That's why I brought the croissant. You can use that.
Yeah.
That's good. Be a sight. But Ray, you know, look, I have been blown away by the response of people to the video that you just released about Sam. Obviously, I knew Sam was quite famous. People know him all over the world. But not just the response, but the content of the response.
So you've been reading them?
Yeah, I've been reading the comments, and I've been amazed.
Yeah, people crying when they saw the
yeah, and it's not like, oh, Ray, your dog. Oh, Sam, we love Sam. Oh, no, we've seen Sam for years in the videos. And
I was getting text messages from people who saw the video.
Yeah, I got a text message from someone saying, sorry about Ray's dog, and yeah.
Can we stop, though, just for the listener who does not know who Sam is?
Yeah.
Can we start there?
Explain
yeah,
yourself.
Ray, who's Sam? Yeah, tell us about Sam.
He's my dog. No, Sam, he was a little fluffy white dog that I put sunglasses on. Well, I didn't. I put him on my bike, and people looked at him, and I thought, man, it's bright out here. I'm wearing sunglasses in Southern California, and he's not. We're moving at about 20 miles an hour, and the wind in the eyes. And he, so I put them on him, and I couldn't believe it, but my phone just kept ringing all the time. I couldn't believe it that people actually came out of their houses, out of their driveways, come running up to look at him like he was royalty or something, because it's not very often you see a dog on a bike, especially with long, flowing ears, going past your house at 15, 20 miles an hour, wearing red sunglasses. But it blew me away, and I found that he gave me license to speak to people about the things of God. Mm. If you've got a dog, people like you.
Yeah.
And they've got something to talk about. I think the most difficult thing at meeting strangers is looking them in the eye and saying, hi, how are you? What's your name? And it's a little, I forget people's names when I do that. It's such a big experience when we meet up. But when you've got a dog, the attention's on the dog and not on you.
Yeah.
And it really helps. You can walk up to a stranger and say, oh, I love your dog. What's his name? You know, how do you get him to wear sunglasses? And I'd say, oh, he's very, very obedient. And he's got elastic under his neck and behind his head, so he's got no choice.
Right.
And but he'd sit there calmly for an hour while I witnessed to people in the background, and people just loved it, and he was my best bait when it comes to fishing for men. And for the last 5 years, almost daily, we have literally hundreds, even I think thousands of times, gone out on the bike together and just seeing how cars treat a dog. You know, drivers treat a dog more than they treat people with respect.
Yeah.
Trucks would stop for me to go in front of them because Sam was on my bike, because they don't want to kill a dog. Killing a person, no big deal. But a dog? Don't want to run over a dog.
A dog with glasses on.
Yeah,
a dog with glasses on. So, I got a lot of mileage out of him. So him passing on left a huge dog-shaped vacuum in my heart, which is going to be filled in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Well, and I was, so just going back to something you just mentioned, I was talking to Sue yesterday, and I was like, man, Sam was so well-trained. Who trained him? And she goes, he was not well-trained behind closed doors.
He was a Bichon, and I found after I got him in a book, it says, these are really hard to train.
Yeah.
And he was. I'd say, sit to him six times, and he'd just keep standing there. I'd pat his back six times, and then he'd sit and look at
me. So how did you finally get Mark to sit?
Oh, yeah. And he'd finally sit after the sixth time of me saying, sit. And he'd say, oh, is that what you wanted? You know, something. But he was very loving and very tolerant when I was witnessing. So,
but what's, good.
Oh, I was going to say, I remember the day you got him. You guys came by our house in your Belinda and or Placentia when we were living there. And you brought him in, and I just remember him. He was the cutest. He seemed to be the most docile and calm little dog. But the owner said something to you right after you purchased him, right?
Yeah, we purchased him. He said, do you want to see the father? As we looked at this cute little puppy walking towards me, and I just thought, this is beautiful. And he says, you want to see the father? I says, yeah. He opened a door, and this grease lightning flash of white ran past us and back out the door. It was like 3 seconds.
Yeah,
that was weird. What a strange thing to happen. And as we went out the guy's door, he said to me, good luck. And for the next just 2 years, we just went through craziness. Sam would seriously bounce off the wall. This is not metaphoric. He wasn't like he was. He would bounce off the wall. We get a visitor, he would land on the person's head and stay there. I've got a picture of him landing.
I remember he used to sit on Kirk's head all the time.
Yeah, he'd come running across, jump up and land on the head and just stay there. And we say, you can't do that to people. But he didn't take much
Ray,
notice.
Is Sam the dog that you tried to give to me way back in the early days?
And Kirk. And I offered $1,000 to Brad.
Why were you trying to get rid of him?
Because he was crazy, right?
Yeah, let me go back to that. Let me forget that point, but you've reminded me when we picked him up, we were driving back to our home, and I said to Sue, I'm going to call him Eric. She says, you can't call a dog Eric. And I
seriously?
Thought, why not? You can call a dog Sam, and you know, it's a good dog's name, but Eric? No one calls a dog Eric, but I wanted to do it.
Tom,
and
George.
And the other name that I like for dogs is Stay. Come here, Stay. Stay, come here. Send the dog into utter confusion.
Oh, you should have gone with that one, right?
So Sam drove us crazy for about 2 years of 2 hours a night, just going absolutely insane around and around the house, bouncing off the walls, doing crazy things. But the lowest point came when he decided he would place Lake Superior right on Sue's seat before she sat in it. And she sat right in the cold Lake Superior in the middle of winter. And I thought, we just got to give him away. So I said to Mark, would you take him? Did I say to you, Easy?
I can't remember.
Kirk says, let me think about it, because Kirk had met Sam. And he says, oh, Sam is Ray Comfort in a white suit. That's what it is.
That's so
anyway,
true.
About 3 days later, he came back. He says, oh, no, we want a bigger dog. And I think, no, Chelsea didn't want to get Sam.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So then I offered Brad $1,000 to take him, and Brad wouldn't even take
wouldn't
him.
Wouldn't do it?
Wouldn't do it.
But Ray, this was before you actually started taking him with you out on
yes,
the bike.
Yes, that was before.
Before he ended up really being an instrument for the gospel.
Yeah, yeah. And that just changed everything. It was...
Hey there, friends. You know, there are a lot of things that we delight to announce here on the Living Waters podcast, but today is what you call an announcement of extraordinary delight, because believe it or not, friends, a friend of Living Waters has donated thousands of dollars to go toward giving away free resources, free to you, but we're talking about $100 worth of resources, right, Oscar?
That's right. Every week, we are going to be announcing 10 winners. That's 5 winners per episode, 4 in the U.S., 1 overseas, and these winners are going to get a custom design box. There's a box designed by you, Easy, which is the least exciting one. There's one designed by Ray, Mark, and then, of course, the best of the best is the one designed by me. And everyone, and every one of these, you're going to get tracks, books, a podcast mug, and again, we're going to be giving away 5 an episode.
Wait, that's my line.
Whoops.
Thank you for that. 5 winners per podcast. That's it.
Oh, and it's really easy to participate. Just go to livingwaters.com.
And friends, excuse
this podcast.
Very inept announcement. Make sure to finished. Listen to
you
the podcast.
Crazy. God, oh. I got a whole stuff to read.
Oh, I thought you were done.
It's really easy to participate. It's really easy to participate. Just go to livingwaters.com/podcast and fill out the form.
There you have it, friends. If you're still listening, please make sure to listen to the podcast all the way until the end, where you will be hearing the announcement of the winners every week.
Marvelous.
Going back to dog naming, dog lovers aren't going to like this, but when my daughter saved up her hard-earned babysitting money to buy a corgi, and we were sitting there trying to think of names, and I was trying really hard to get my family to name him Speed Bump.
That is just awful.
You know, I always have dreamed of having like a very vicious looking a Rottweiler or Doberman Pinscher and calling him Kitty Cat.
Yeah.
Here, kitty, kitty.
Well, when
kitty.
People would come up to Sam, which happened every day at the school I go to, they'd come up and say, can I pat him? I say, yeah, his name's Vicious. And they'd pull back and they said, does he bite? And I said, oh, yeah, every morning is breakfast. What else is he going to do? I got a lot of fun joking around like that.
Yeah. So, Ray, take us to the pain of it all. I mean, those that watch the video know that you took him to, the pet, the veterinarians. He was having complications. And
you just answer the question for him.
Well, let's talk about what he went through to get there and do all that. You're gonna laugh or cry?
Both.
Oh no, he's laughing again.
Okay, it was horrific. I got in the car and I didn't look at Sam. I didn't dare look him in his eyes because I was taking him to his death. Yeah. And so we drove around, didn't look at him, put him in the back seat, went into the veterinarian, and I had him on a leash, and I'd already called, and they knew. And a lady just stood there. I says, can you just take him? This is getting too emotional for me. My voice was breaking. And I thought I had it all together until I came out of the veterinarian, and I went to walk to my car, and I just started, just lost it. Absolutely started running to my car, got in, and just wailed like a bat. And I thought, this is a dog. This is not a human being. It's a dog. Yeah. But it just really shows how close I was to him. And I've been going out on my bike for the last 2 days without him on it. And things are fine. And then suddenly this memory comes and you get it, what I would call as a pang.
Yeah.
It's something in your chest. It might be your spirit or sin, the innermost part of your being, where it's just like rips out of you just for a second. And it's a horrible feeling. And it's made me feel with empathy for widows and men that have lost their wives, their partner for life, suddenly gone.
Yeah.
How horrific that is. That's just like a dog. When your dog dies, everyone says it's great, you're getting a new puppy. Yeah, it's great, but you can't do that. If your wife dies, people aren't going to commend that. You just have to bear with the pain and loneliness and everything you look at. I walk into home and instead of saying, hi, Sam, there's just quietness. But it's really made me grow in the Lord. In a sense, I get home and it's not loneliness because God's there. He's with me. He'll never leave me or forsake me.
Amen.
So I have a confession. I don't typically understand the attraction that people have with animals. Now, I think animals can be... I have a dog, right? I think he's a handsome dog. But for that reason, Ray, I refuse to get kind of emotionally attached to my dog, right? D.L. Moody said, be often at where men die, not necessarily where your pet dies, right? And I think if my dog, and dog lovers are not going to love this either, Oscar, but if my dog dies, I celebrate the day that I no longer have to put money and attention and take care of,
it's pretty warm. Know,
my dog, right? So when I was 5 years old,
for
I was mauled.
Oh, were, well,
there we are.
For those
tell
of you
why.
That were suspicious about Mark's dark heart,
right?
No longer be suspicious.
No, his soulless.
This all makes living. Sense because Mark had a terrible experience with a dog when he was 5 years old.
And I wonder if it's associated.
I
right?
think yeah, I was going to ask that, Mark. Do you think it has something to do with that?
I think we should have a PTSD moment right now. Yes. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, when I was 5 years old, I was mauled by a German Shepherd. And I couldn't go around any sort of a dog.
Yeah.
You know, and if a dog came up to me, I was ready to be violent back towards it.
So, Mark,
trying
no,
to protect
no, no.
myself.
You've got to explain. He ripped your face off.
Yeah, he gave me a lot of stitches, right? The first emergency room we went to, they turned us down in Westminster.
Wow.
And we had to go to another emergency room.
How old were you?
I was 5 years old.
Wow.
And this is because your face was ripped off.
Because my face was just, I'm supposed to look like Tom Cruise and I got stuck with this.
That's rough. Well, but so what happened? Tell us the story. What happened? Do you remember what happened?
Well, my dad got home from work and he tried to take care of the dog himself.
It was your dog?
It was our dog.
Okay.
And it was Mother's Day. And I was making puppets.
This is also why you don't like Mother's Day.
It's and so my dog jumped the fence, went into the neighbor's yard. We took off for the hospital, and they stitched my face back together.
Mark, you were just playing, and the dog just attacked you?
My dog was chewing my crayons, and I was making these paper puppets out of lunch sacks for my mom to put on a puppet show for Mother's Day. And I went to my brother Mike, and I said, hey, King, that was our dog, was eating the crayons, and I don't know what to do. And he said, figure it out. And I was afraid of him already. I was 5 years old.
Fault.
It's a full-grown German Shepherd.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the crayons out of his mouth, and he didn't like that, and he turned and started chomping on my face.
That's a lesson. Never try and get crayons out of the mouth of a dog.
Oh, boy.
But, I mean, from there, you know, I've just never... My kids love my dog. Absolutely love my dog.
Yeah, Rusty, my kids love your dog.
That's understandable then you feel like that. Because I'd feel like that if I did my face ripped off.
But Mark, okay, but that's dogs. Do you have an aversion to cats? And
I love cats.
And... oh, no.
You can eat a whole one?
You want to hate Mark more? Go ahead, Mark.
I just can't eat a whole cat. no, I don't like cats either. I like to
do you like
see
beef?
Animals from a distance. I love steak.
Well, listen, guys, I want us to talk about grief. I want to talk a little more about pets that we have and we've had, and then also just how this ties into, you know, people experiencing grief and loss on a deeper level, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when it deals with people. I was blown away when I looked at the statistics about pets. Listen to this. This is from bankcrate.com. It says, pet ownership continues to increase. 56% of households owned a pet in 1988 compared to the current 70% rate.
Wow.
70%. That shocked me. Like,
but
there's
been a revival because of COVID.
Well, yeah, that,
I'll tell you this too. The Navarro household alone bumped it 20%. We have like 300 pets.
Yeah. Expenses for pet products, care, and services grew to over $103 billion in 2020 compared to $97 billion in 2019. During the pandemic, about 30% of Americans adopted at least one pet.
Right.
We did. It coincided that way, but we did. And boy, did the prices jump up when COVID hit.
Yeah.
I mean, we barely got our dog just before the prices went up. Then we were back on the site and they were like,
I paid $400 for a snail.
I paid $1,000 for an ant. Gross written pet insurance premiums grew to almost $2 billion in 2020 compared to $1.6 billion in 2019, and 83% of pet insurance premiums provided coverage for dogs in 2020. 69 people own a dog, 45.3 million people own cats, 2 million dogs and 2.1 million cats get adopted every year. And
that's just by one lady who's trying to reach her husband.
Trying to reach her husband with animals. And during COVID, 23 million people adopted pets.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Well, let me tell you this, just going back to something that you said, Ray, and that you alluded to, Mark, I think there is this tendency. I know it's in me because I didn't grow up with pets either, and I didn't understand them, and I never wanted them. To me, I didn't ever want to pick up the feces of another animal. That just seemed like, why would I do that? You know, yeah. I remember hearing a comedian say something effective, like, I think the reasons why aliens haven't made first contacts because they look down and they see us chasing after dogs, picking up their feces, and they think, who's in control? But the reality is there is a longing in our heart to subdue the earth. And right there in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see a very intimate relationship with God's image-bearing creatures, his representatives at that time, Adam and Eve on earth with the rest of creation. It is by no accident that God names Adam, and then he allows Adam to name the rest of breathing animals. And that's intentional. That's not something to overlook, like, oh, how interesting he named animals. No. God intended for us to subdue, to be his representatives, to love and care for and nurture the world. There's a relationship we have with God's creatures that he has created. And so I think pets speak into that. When we have companionship, I mean, it's not the companionship that you get from another human being, of course, but it's a type of companionship. When we see animals in the wild, like, all of these things sing the glory of God. And when we honor them, whether it's through being pets or taking care of an environmental crisis, either way, we're doing something God designed us to do, yeah, which is to care for his creation.
Well, so just say something about dogs. Dogs are super special because you can kick a dog with your foot and he'll come back and wag his tail. Incredibly forgiving.
Oh,
very,
how many times
very
have
loving.
You tried that?
Yeah. I come down the stairs and walk towards Sam and I'd see his just tail wagging with utter excitement. And I think, have you got the right guy?
Yeah.
Seriously, it was just unconditional love and faith. I mean, I was on my bike, 25 miles an hour, weaving back and forth. Never once did he get fearful because he totally trusted me. It sounds dumb, but a dog can exercise trust in his master.
Yeah.
And so that's the special thing about dogs. Cats are nice and smooth and cuddly, but they just don't. They'll lean up against you because it's feeding time.
Right, pretty much. Selfish creature.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, I've experienced and I've seen just an unjust and undue respect towards animals that we don't even see towards people,
right,
where people will treat animals better than they treat people.
That's because they are.
That's because they
people,
are animals.
People don't wag their tails when they see you coming, but dogs do. It's unconditional love, except for dogs that attack little boys.
Yeah,
Ray, you went out on the streets and you had asked people the question, if your dog was drowning and your rotten neighbor was drowning, who would you save? And there were a number of people that would say they wouldn't hesitate to save their dog and allow their neighbor to die.
Do you remember the context?
Tell me, please.
It was evolution.
That's the evolution
basis of that. They believed that they were primates, and dogs are animals. We're on the same level as dogs. Primates are all primates. So that was the context of that. But most people who are dog lovers, especially Christians, esteem people far more than they do dogs.
Yeah, and that's where things get out of whack, you know, when we worship and serve the creature rather than the creator.
Yep, right.
We lose our sense of priority. And really, I mean, how many times do we say it on this program? Imago Dei, right? Man is made in the image of God. And it's preposterous. And look, I say this with respect because it has gotten to a place where people trip out if you in any way give the indication that animals are not as valuable as human beings. So I understand that, but let me say it in no emphatic terms. Animals are not as valuable as human beings. As much as we love our pets, as much as we care about them, if it's someone that not only that I've never met, but someone that may be a rude individual, if I see them drowning and my dog drowning, I'm saving the human being.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. And so that is important for us to touch on that.
Certainly. And we see that in today in the United States, it's a felony to destroy an eagle's egg or a turtle's egg, but we can destroy a baby in the womb.
Wow.
Yeah, and the theological precedence for this, of course, is that we are created in God's image. Unlike the rest of creation, God has imprinted his image upon us, and God himself is so glorious, so majestic, so good, that anything that comes close to reflecting him increases in value. And so we are kind of like mirrors, right? When you look in a mirror, you don't see yourself, you see a reflection of yourself. Mm. In that same way, God has created little reflectors, human beings that reflect his value and worth in the world. The reason why it's wrong to murder a fellow human being, but you don't go to hell for accidentally stepping on a bug, is because the bug doesn't reflect the glory of God in the same way, in an image bearer like quality that another human being does.
Yeah. Amen. And yet, God has, in our dominion over the earth, God has given us creativity to where we can use all things for his glory. And Ray, that's what thrilled me about what you did with Sam, is you used him for the glory of God.
Perfect.
Mean, for years, you know, you've always yearned to find ways to get people's attention, especially with open-air preaching and crowds. And yet, as you've been doing the one-to-one with people as well, God graciously gave you this tool. I mean, you've always had dogs, but then suddenly it was like this light bulb. I mean, how funny. Little glasses on a dog totally transformed him into an instrument for the gospel.
I used to see people show up at Huntington Beach with a Great Dane that looked like a horse, and the crowds are coming out immediately. I thought, okay, I'm getting a Great Dane. All I have to do is talk my wife into paying about $500 a week for food and vet bills, but I can always ride on his back and get people's attention like that.
You could have had Oscar come over to pick up the nice small droppings.
That's what I was thinking. And then I was just going to say that, but I thought it was bad taste. And anyway, the key wasn't in the size, it was in the sunglasses.
Yeah.
As soon as those glasses went on, this morning when I knew we were going to talk about this, it reminded me, many, many years ago, I just got married, and we had a little white poodle named Tania, and we had her mated with a pure breed, and she got pregnant, and we thought there were two or three little puppies in there. And I knew there were $60 a puppy you get when you sell them. Yeah. And the dog was on our bed when it went into labor. Wow. And and out came this little puppy, cute little thing. It was just a miracle as a new Christian, and I thought, oh, how cute, what a nice little puppy at $60. I shouldn't think like that. I shouldn't think like that. And about 10 minutes later, out come the second puppy. I thought, oh, how cute. It's 120.
That's a lot of money back then, too.
Yeah, it was like, it's like $500 now. I would say even more. And then it did a third one. And then a fourth one. By the fourth, I was shaking the dog saying, come on, guys.
Let's do this again. That's really funny.
So how many pets do you guys, what's your pet count? What do you got?
So, yeah, you know, boy, the whole pet thing with us, I was a bit traumatized when it came to pets, because there's something about Arabs where they can't keep pets. And we had several dogs when I was a kid.
How many camels did you guys have?
We had 95. Yeah.
Didn't you have a de-skunked skunk?
Ray wanted a de-skunked skunk. Dropping, don't you remember, Oscar? No, but every dog we got, we'd end up getting rid of. So the first dog I remember we had, its name was Tiny, and it was a little white poodle.
That's not very nice.
Yeah, Tiny, little white poodle, and the thing had halitosis.
What is it?
It had the most atrocious breath in the world. So the dog was given to us because some lady had the dog, and she had two dogs, one of them died, and this dog, Tiny, was radically depressed and had bad breath.
That's because it breathed on the other dog.
Probably. So we end up getting the dog. My sisters were both learning to be, dental assistants and stuff. So they would like put on gloves. They'd brush the dog's teeth trying to, you know. But I got attached to the thing. And the one trick that it could do is you tell it, you know, go pee, and it would go and it would urinate. So that's my last memory of Tiny. My brother said, oh, let's go for a drive. We get in the car. We go down to, I think it was Miles Square Park over there. And Tiny gets out of the car. He goes, Tiny, go pee. Tiny goes and he closes the door. And we get in the car. We leave.
Just wait, left what? Miles Square Park?
Just left.
He's probably still there.
To be eaten by the piranhas terrible. In the pond.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah. And then my next, the next one.
Hang on.
We had a few more.
That dog had bad breath. Did you give it Lebanese food?
Totally.
It cured its breath. No, but then I had a dog named Dingo, a German Shepherd that I trained. And the dog only spoke, it only understood Arabic. But I mean, this dog was really well trained. Every day I'd come home, I'd play with it. And one day I come home and he usually greets me at the gate.
It's at Miles Square Park.
And I'm like, "What? Hey, where's Dingo?" And game away. I mean, I'm like this teenage young. I was like probably 12 or 13. I was devastated.
Who gave him away?
My brother. Oh. He gave him to a guy.
Is that Frank?
Yeah. He gave him to a guy that would, he was going to train him and then give him to like as a bodyguard type dog or something like that.
Wow.
But yeah, so I was always traumatized. And then Rachel and I got married and then we didn't have dogs.
I gave Rachel away.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's right.
And then I remember one day we had a friend that had a husky. It was one of those tan colored ones with the piercing blue eyes. Cody was his name. The most beautiful dog I'd ever seen in my life. So one day Rachel and I were at the mall, and that's when they used to have dogs in the windows at the mall. And I saw one and we were like, oh, and then we told Ray and Sue about it. And Ray goes, I'll buy it for you. And so we got it, had her for a while, but then she just started knocking the kids. Too much energy. I didn't realize that. We had a small yard. So we gave her to some friends, and then they over time got bored of her, gave her to another friend. And then she ate their pet rat. And then, so he's like, that's wow. It. I got to get rid of this thing. So he's taking her to drop her off at the pound.
At Miles Square Park.
Drop her off at the pound. And he's going through Starbucks. And the kid looks at her through the window, the kid helping him. And he goes, what a beautiful dog. And the guy looks at him and goes, you want her? He's taking her to the pound. The kid goes, yeah. Wow. So our joke is always the dog's name was Mocha. Mocha found her home at Starbucks.
How funny.
So that was kind of our story. And now we have Willow, our beloved mini golden doodle.
And you got Willow trained.
Oh, yeah. Willow's trained.
Very trained.
Yeah. We love our dog. She really is precious and adorable. So, Ray, the thought of Willow passing, yeah, it really grieves my heart, the thought of it. But the good news is
I'm getting a new pup in 2 weeks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who found that dog for you, Ray?
You found the dog.
Yeah.
And I wish we could show a picture.
We can't. Just put it up to the microphone.
Okay. How beautiful this little puppy is.
Oh, seriously. What kind is it? You remember?
It's a Aussie Doodle.
Aussie Doodle.
Which is a Border Collie Poodle mix. Border Collie's the
or most Australian Shepherd, right?
Yeah. Border Collie's the most intelligent dogs. And Poodle's the second most intelligent. So this dog is going to be so intelligent, it'll do the preaching for me.
Can you do a podcast?
Yeah.
Why do they call them Aussie Shepherds or Australian Shepherds?
Yeah, Australian Shepherds. That's the Border Collie. It's just called
Australia.
Australian.
Okay,
got it. They're originally from the US, I read last night.
Yeah. Oh, when I saw this dog, I couldn't believe how cute it was.
Yeah.
So a few more weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2nd of November.
What's the weight?
It's about 2 weeks.
Why is there a weight?
Oh, I was going to say about 5 pounds.
Well, they have to wait until they get a certain
shots
age, I think.
And stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be flown over here and needs to be able to fly.
Yeah. So listen to some of these comments that we got from people. This is on YouTube, actually, from the video that Ray posted. You could check it out if you just go on our YouTube channel. You'll immediately see
it. If you've ever
it.
Wanted to see Ray cry, this is the video.
Yeah, I think it's got a couple hundred thousand views already, I think, in about a day. This is from Melissa Severance. Ray, I'm so sorry for the loss of your sweet dog. I enjoy watching these encounters so much, and seeing a dog wearing sunglasses made me smile every time. Thank you for sharing him with us. I pray that you will receive comfort in this sad time. Much appreciation for the way you share the gospel with gentleness and respect, always an encouragement. Smiles, right, Ray? I mean, really, that's what Sam did for a lot of people.
Yeah, I just gave him a joy. And me too. When I see him sitting in the background when I'm doing interviews, just sitting there, cool, with the sunglasses on, chilling. That's the word I was thinking of, just chilling. And it just made you smile.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. This is from, interestingly, a lady named Sam. How sad to hear that, Ray. It almost felt like we knew him too, because many times we would see him sitting patiently on your bike basket, wearing
it
his...
It wasn't a basket, it was a platform. I'll be 95 when I get a basket. It'll be a three-wheeler with a basket.
You don't like that, Ray?
No, I don't like a basket. It's actually a little platform with a seatbelt I had.
Yeah. Patiently sitting in your basket wearing
it wasn't a basket.
Wearing his cool sunglasses while you're evangelizing. How good God is to give us little pet companions to bless our life, such as your little Sam did for you.
That's good.
That's touching. And then this last one, this is from SpongeBobFam23. Rest in peace, a legend never forgotten. Rest in peace, the dog that led more people to Christ than I did We'll never forget you, Sam. You'll always be in our hearts.
Wow. It's over 8,000 comments.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I couldn't believe the number of comments and over 20,000 likes last I looked.
I'm going to miss seeing little Sam in that basket. That's for
Stop.
Sure. speaking of rest in peace, I think the question that everybody is waiting for us to ask an answer, especially if you've got little kids who have to be around when you put a dog down. Go to heaven.
Don't ask Mark.
Disney thinks all dogs go to heaven.
Oh, good work, Mark.
No. You know, this is a real interesting one. I've been actually surprised when I've come across theologians that have surmised that, yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, obviously, speaking of the new earth and the fact that there will be animals, you know, in the new earth, we know that biblically. Some surmise, I don't know. I have a hard time coming to that conclusion. Part of me wants to say the sheer number of dogs that would have existed. What's the criteria? I mean, are animals moral creatures? I don't think so. And if they were, then they would definitely be in need of redemption. So it gets kind of complicated. Maybe it's more simple than that.
Preach the gospel to every creature.
Right? Maybe that's a part of it. So I don't know. I personally don't hold that view. Others that I respect do. And so it's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I had the same attitude, but I remember once I was at a radio station and someone there says, I got a call, and I don't know what to say to this lady. She's asking if her dog's going to go to heaven. It just died. I said, where is she? And they said, about a mile and a half from here. I said, let me go around there. So I got her address, went around there, and I didn't say yes or no. I says, look, I don't know, but I know God is good and kind, and you never know. And she said, really? And I says, see, have you been born again? And she hadn't, and I was able to pray with her. And I could have used that as a stumbling block for her, but it just didn't. It was like a little stepping stone.
Yeah, I like the way you're sort of rationalizing through your theological understandings to be able to answer the question easy. I think I've done the same thing, and in one of the parts, that the sticking points that I get to where I would love to emphatically say, yes, your pet, you know, Roger will be in heaven. Your pet Eric will be in heaven. One of the sticky points for me is that while there are going to be animals in heaven, without a doubt, my wife likes to remind me that Jesus comes back on a horse. Where did he get the horse from? My wife is a horse lover.
What's your horse's name?
Easy.
Yeah.
E-A-S-Y. But
not a compliment when someone...
Mr. Ed was one of the most amazing horses in the world, right? So it's an honor. Mr. Easy.
Easy. It's a girl.
That's so funny. Real quick. I don't know if I shared the story, but when I met Penn Jillette, when Ray interviewed Lawrence Krauss, Penn was there and I interviewed, hey, how you doing? My name's Easy. He goes, what? That's my wife's name. I'm like, what? I go, they're my initials. He goes, they're her initials.
No way.
Emily Zoltan is his
how
wife.
How funny.
Yeah, so
I had no
there's
idea.
A woman named Easy too.
And a female horse. But anyway... One of the theological sticking points that I have is that while I do agree, I mean, new heaven and new earth, what's heaven going to be like? It's going to be like right here, right now, except perfect. Are there animals here? Yes, there are animals here. But is your specific pet,
right?
That's the challenge, because we hear about the resurrection, but the resurrection has something to do with God's image bearers being saved and brought back in new form.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily say animals, pets, right? I'm not saying no. That's just a theological sticking point to me. But this is how I've answered it, because my kids, I've had a five-year-old with tears in their eyes because we had to put down a dog, ask me if we're going to have our pets in heaven.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I don't want to be like, well, let me explain to you my theological convictions on the matter. Because it's not going to be comforting to your point, Ray. And so in that moment, I said, you know what? Heaven's going to be so good that it's actually not going to matter. Because what makes heaven heaven is that you are going to be face to face with the glorious God that created you.
Amen.
And you're going to be so overwhelmed with joy from being face to face with the glorious God that all of those other things simply won't matter. That's how good heaven is.
Share that with your dog.
Yeah. No, that's good. And it is so important to be careful. You know, we've all heard people try to console others by saying the sort of trite, hey, they're in a better place type thing, you know?
Are they?
Yeah. And I that always grieves me, because it cheapens the reality of eternity and the significance of the gospel and the need for man to be regenerated. And so we have to be careful that we don't just say things that are going to console people to make them feel good when they're not grounded and rooted in truth.
Amen.
Especially with our kids, because eventually that'll erode their trust in what we tell them and teach them.
You know, I remember talking to Bruce Garner, our friend, and yeah, I'd asked him,
pastor.
Ray's pastor, and I said, hey, can you give me any advice as I do this funeral, some things to say, not to say? And he said, well, the top advice is don't speak them into heaven. Mm. In other words, don't, with a great guarantee, say that that person is in heaven, because everybody says that at every funeral. So you can say something more along the lines of, if so-and-so is back with us, what would they share with us here today?
No.
You know, I haven't done a lot of grieving, right? I have both my parents. Easy, you've lost your mom.
And yeah.
I don't know what that's like. I did lose my grandma Spence, and we went in Washington, and we had our ashes, and we threw them over the cliff.
It's not very nice.
And it was ashes at the time, and she wasn't with us. I think the part that wasn't nice really was when the wind shifted. It's true, and the ashes shifted, and we all started to cough.
Oh no, Ray's getting the laughing attack.
Because Grandma then became a part of each one of us.
We just lost Easy.
Ray left the table. Friends, let me just say here, friends, this is very important, because this could really come across as intentional insensitivity. It is really not that. Even when Ray talked about his dog, he was laughing. It really is a reaction. Mechanism. I think it's a coping mechanism, yeah. And so please know, it's really real, this laughing disorder. It happens to my wife. It's happened to me. So that's what's going on here. We're not in any way disparaging what Mark's talking about, or obviously...
That was my grandma. You know. No, ahead, you know, so we breathed in grandma with all the ashes, and it changed the mood for sure, because what became very kind of solemn and taking it in, and I wasn't a Christian at the time, and then we all had a coughing attack.
Wow.
Because of all the ashes that we inhaled.
Wow. That is, and yeah,
it
boy.
Was weird.
It was a Mary Tyler Moore show where Mary Tyler Moore was at a funeral, and she just burst out laughing when she was trying to grieve. And it was their most popular episode because so many people identified with that.
Yeah,
because the emotions of laughter and tears are so close.
It's crazy how that happens. I remember one time speaking at a retreat, and a young lady had told the entire retreat, like after I finished preaching, she basically got up and just told them all that she had a child that no one knew about for I think it was a couple of years.
Wow.
And this is in the Arab community, and that's like a big taboo, you know? And so this was a big, big deal, you know? And everybody was just like, whoa. And then the other sister got up and began to exhort everybody. And she, you know, she had a pretty thick accent. I look over and I see these two guys, and their shoulders are shaking and their heads are down. And I go, oh no. And then it just hit me. And I lost it. And here's a solemn moment, you know, where everybody's right. Like, I remember I just put my head down, and my shoulders are shaking. And anytime there was like, anytime I could gather myself for a second, I'd put my head up and I'd have this, you know, solemn moment. And I'd go back down, you know, it's really real. So please understand that, friends, none of this is intentional.
It's also a cultural thing, because Hispanic culture, they use humor to grieve.
Really?
Like it is very common to be at a funeral and there's just laughter happening in the pews.
Oh.
People are just
really?
Making jokes, laughing. I don't know what it is. It's a cultural thing. You use humor, you crack jokes at a moment, and it like helps you process or grieve. I don't know what it is.
This reminds me of when I had a dog put down many years ago, or 5, 8 years ago. Who cares how long it was? Women are into details, men aren't, so I don't care how long it was. Anyway, it was about 8 years ago. I was just leaving a veterinarian after having my dog put to sleep, my little dog, and there was a woman with her daughter there. I think her daughter's in her late 20s. And they had to have a big dog put down, which is a kind of a bigger thing. It was
bigger urn.
Yeah. And so they came out, and they were just beside themselves in tears. And as they walked out of the place, I thought, will I or won't I? Well, I will. So when I went up and I says, here's $1 million bill, I'll help you pay the bill. And they both burst out laughing.
Really?
Both of them just immediately burst out laughing. And they were walking down the sidewalk laughing together at that, which just shows how close those emotions are.
Yeah, and look, different people grieve in different ways, but grieving is very, very important. I mean, you just look, throughout scripture, and you see examples of people grieving. In fact, back in biblical times, people would hire mourners to bring about a demonstration of the value of the one that passed on.
Is that weird or not?
I mean, in that day and age, it was kind of like, it was almost like hiring singers for events. It was kind of like, okay, let's grieve. And I'm sure there were certain lamentations they would say and declare. And
because
like
everybody
that.
Was laughing.
Yeah, probably was Ray was there. But it is important to grieve. It's God's way of healing us. Yep. You can't let it be pent up and hold it in. You mm-hmm. have to remember and let it all happen. Now, there's times when it can get overboard and you can get to a place where years later, you're still allowing yourself to mourn in an unhealthy way. But initially, it is good and it's healthy. My mom, I lost my mom, and that was hard. And you go through roller coaster of emotions where you think I'm okay, and then you'll be somewhere, you'll smell something or hear something or remember something, and then boom, you start crying and you get broken. And it's good to let that happen. You know, let that cleansing happen, and then it'll bring you to a place of healing. My niece just passed away recently. She was only 38 years old and died of cancer, and it was very, very difficult. And I've been watching my family mourn and grieve. And you know, the consolation that we have is the knowledge that all of this will one day be righted, that God is going to end mm-hmm. death, that Christ has overcome the grave, and there's hope in Him.
And no more tears.
Yeah. So friends, there you have it. You know, like I said, one of the joys is to have seen what Ray has done in terms of using his dog as an instrument for the gospel. He wrote a book called By All Means, How to Use What You Have to Reach the Lost. And on the cover of that book is Ray and Sam riding on Ray's bike. And
it's just a picture of them, really.
Just a picture.
<It's> not...
Ray, that was a labor of love, that book, encouraging people to use what you have to reach
Yeah, everyone's got giftings, and everyone can get a dog. In fact, we've got the dog box. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that's a box that's got glasses in it with elastic on them and two books, 101 yeah. Things Dogs Do to Annoy the Owners.
Yeah, this is another one here. Ray wrote 101 Things Dogs Do to Annoy Their Owners. Really good book. Colored illustrations, and it's really easy to read. And then it brings the gospel in. So,
and there's lots of dog tracts in the dog box along with the two books.
That's right.
And the sunglasses.
So there you have it, friends. The end of an era. Sam has passed, and now Ray's new adorable dog's coming. Ray's thinking through names. He's looking for ideas and
suggestions.
Yeah,
Jezebel.
Potiphar's wife. Yeah. Delilah would be a good one, too.
Rotunda, if it's a big dog.
Yeah. So there you have it, friends. Thank you so much for joining us. Continue to be open to be used by the Lord in unique ways that may even surprise you. Let Him make you an instrument in His hand for His glory. And remember, podcast@livingwaters.com. Email us there with thoughts and ideas. Don't forget to give us a rating, comments. Continue to tell your friends about the Living Waters podcast. It's still one of the top podcasts in the world by God's grace. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you here next time on the Living Waters podcast, where we have no idea what we're doing. All right, friends, it's that time again. I'm going to announce this week's podcast giveaway winners. We kick it off with Stone. Ooh, Stone. From Trustville, Alabama. And he says, yes, that's the name, Stone. Matt from Eureka, California. Jim from Ozark, Arkansas. JC from Louisville, Kentucky. Carl from Santa Maria, California. Rob from Snohomish, Washington. Washington's always got those interesting names. Jason from Tulsa, Oklahoma. John from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Pete from Rotorua, New Zealand. Pronounced Pete. Oh, I should have read that note first. And Stephen from Logan Reserve, Australia. You're all winners. The goodies are coming, friends. Keep telling others about the Living Waters podcast.